following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. Here are your hosts, Olivia Reiner and Tom Silverstein. Welcome everyone to the Packers News JS Online Green 19 podcast alongside Tom Silverstein. I am Olivia Reiner. Happy Monday, everyone. It is the Monday after Super Wild Card weekend. Six games, 2 days. Tom, how was your Wild Card weekend?
It was very, very relaxing. I watched some football, but I did some painting and a little bit of just hanging around. It was nice, very nice. I definitely needed a bye week.
Painting? Were you painting your house? Were you painting canvases? Oh, okay.
Inside one of our offices that we have, bedrooms that we've turned into offices. So that was actually fun to do a little bit of physical labor instead of sitting in front of my laptop in Zoom conferences all day long.
I don't know what physical labor is, so you're gonna have to remind me. But anyway, so yes, six games this past weekend. The Packers learned of their divisional opponent after the Saints beat the Bears, and they found out that they would be playing the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams beat the Seattle Seahawks 30-20. Really dominant day for the Rams defensive front. They sacked quarterback Russell Wilson 5 times, hit him 20 times. Wilson, under a lot of stress, went 11 of 27 attempts, 174 yards, 2 touchdowns, an interception, and finished with a 72.1 passer rating. So going into that game, Seahawks were the 8th-ranked offense in points, and the number 1-ranked defense was able to take them down. So an exciting game. Encourage you to go watch that one back for the Rams. However, a lot to take away from this game and a lot to take away about the significance of a bye week, Tom. Some Packers fans may be like, well, you know, bye week, the team's going to get out of a mojo. Packers, you don't want to take the foot off the gas. Well, the Rams are coming out of this game pretty banged up. I wouldn't say that they're going to be down players going into Saturday's game. However, they may be playing with some players that have a little bit of a limited capacity, with quarterback Jared Goff still dealing with the thumb injury. He broke it back in week 16 and underwent surgery 2 weeks ago. Goff came in during the game for John Wolford, who sustained a stinger during the game against the Seahawks, and he is considered day-to-day. Defensive tackle Aaron Donald sustained a ribs injury, and wide receiver Cooper Kupp has a bursitis of the knee, which is essentially inflammation of his knee joint. Both of those players are expected to be ready to play on Saturday. So with all that in mind, Tom, how happy are the Packers to have this the past bye week to get ready and to get healthy before playing the Rams on Saturday?
Well, I think the bye is tremendous. It really is an advantage, because I just don't think you can measure how important it is for a team to get a week off at this point of the season. I mean, it is really advantageous. And there's a reason why, you know, home division teams do so well, or in divisional games. So I think the main thing is getting rest. Now, it is possible they come out a little bit rusty, maybe, or not as sharp, but that'll disappear after a while. And what you want is, in the fourth quarter, you want to be the strongest team on the field. And I think the Packers will be the healthiest team going into this game. It's just going to be a matter of staying that way and then playing up to their standards.
Well, the Packers will be happy to have a little bit more added energy to Lambeau Field this upcoming weekend with the introduction of 6,000 fans into the stands. Doesn't sound like a lot. It might not look like a lot in the stadium. However, it's going to be far more than they've had all season. The weather's also supposed to be pretty typical of a Green Bay day. I think, you know, turning around and looking out my window, gray, pretty cold, 25 degrees, nothing wild though, Tom. No, what do you think?
I mean, what the Packers want is a below 10 degree game, because that's when it's a shock to your system. Even when you live in it, it's a shock to your system. But it's, if you're coming from 70, 80, you know, 70 degree LA, and you have to play in 10 degree weather, it's a shock to your system. I mean, 25, you'll notice the difference, but I really don't think that 25 affects people that much. It's really the windy, cold, extremely cold games to me that affect a team. But we'll see. You know, maybe the Rams, maybe just being cold a little bit is different for some of their receivers. I know it can't be a good thing for Jared Goff if he's playing. You know, just any cold weather on your thumb can't, you need a better grip and in that cold weather. And if it were to snow, which it's not supposed to, that would be a problem. So I don't consider this a like a remarkable advantage. I think it's just a slight advantage.
I'm sure all eyes will be on Jared Goff as the week goes on, seeing exactly what he's capable of doing in practice. And regardless, he's not someone necessarily that needs the week of practice. So, you know, the minutes leading up to the start of the game, we'll see exactly what Jared Goff's availability is. So let's talk about this Rams team. They went 10-6 in the regular season. Their six losses came against the Bills, twice against the 49ers, against the Dolphins, the Seahawks, and the New York Jets. The lowly New York Jets went 2-14. Both of the teams that the Jets beat are still in the playoffs. Or excuse me, the Jets beat. So Rams and the Cleveland Browns are still in the playoffs. So pretty remarkable. Says a lot about the Jets. No, it doesn't. But anyway, a lot of changes for this Rams team this offseason. Still, head coach Sean McVay is at the helm of this team. It's his fourth season. However, they hired a new offensive coordinator and new defensive coordinator. So it was the first season for defensive coordinator Brandon Staley, first season for offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell. And Staley led this team from being the number 17 defense last season to being the number one defense this season. They are number one in a whole bunch of categories. Number one in first downs, passing yards, passing touchdowns, points, yards. How formidable of a threat is this Rams defense to the Packers' number one offense?
Well, they got players in the right places to defend the Packers. So they have as probably the kryptonite that could affect the Packers, because one, they got a pass rush that can come up the middle with Aaron Donald. And that is the best way to get Aaron Rodgers. You know, you don't want him to feel comfortable. You want him, as bad as it sounds, you do want him to have to scramble a little bit now in LaFleur's offense, because that they don't do that as much now. The other thing is that you've got a lockdown corner in Jalen Ramsey, who will match up with Davante Adams, I'm sure, the entire way. And so those are two things that make their give them a really reasonable chance. And then just their defense is really good. And so we never know which defense is going to show up for the Packers, but we do know their offense is going to show up. And the same is true for the Rams. We don't know what offense is going to show up, but we do know their defense is going to show up. So it's a great matchup. It's really, you know, one versus one. It's going to really be an interesting way. And then you've got the connection between Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur. So everybody knows what everybody else is doing.
A lot to unpack here, namely, Tom, the assertion that the Rams are the inverse Packers. You mentioned the Rams defense is really strong. The Packers offense is really strong. However, Packers defense is considered the weaker link to the Packers offense. However, not by any means, they are not the weakest defense in the NFL. You look at the Rams offense, they are 22nd in the league in points, 11th in the league in yards. Their biggest struggles coming in the passing game. They're 26th in passing touchdowns. How do you anticipate the Packers defense to play the passing game with quarterback Jared Goff, assuming he's able to play?
Well, I think this is going to be similar to what happened with Chicago in week 17, is make the quarterback beat you. And it almost backfired on them a little in the Bears game, because Mitch Trubisky got kind of hot and didn't turn the ball over and move the ball up and down. But ultimately, that strategy worked. And then this is going to be the same. They got to focus on stopping Cam Akers and make sure that, you know, they put enough pressure on Goff that it's really in his hands, assuming he's the starter. And I am assuming he's going to start. But, you know, even if he doesn't, that's it. You got to go run to pass and make sure that they don't get anything deep down the field and make them work for everything.
As I mentioned, a lot of changes for this team during the 2019 season. The Rams parted ways with running back Todd Gurley after they were unable to trade him. They ended up releasing him and he signed with the Falcons. He'd been dealing with a knee injury that had really hindered his performance and ultimately wasn't worth it for them to keep him around. They also parted ways with former Packers linebacker Clay Matthews. So no Clay Matthews. Matthews remains a free agent. And veteran safety Eric Weddle announced his retirement after 13 seasons. They had 11 unrestricted free agents in free agency. 8 of them walked. And then they were also really active on the trade market. Tom, as you mentioned, acquiring cornerback Jalen Ramsey from the Jaguars. They traded 2 first-round picks for him and a 4th rounder. And now he is an all-pro cornerback going up against an all-pro wide receiver in Devontae Adams this upcoming weekend. So a lot of changes for this team. The Packers haven't played against them since 2018. And they've only played against them twice, the Rams franchise in the postseason. And the series is split 1-1. What are like some of the most, I suppose, intriguing changes to this team since we last saw them back in 2018 that you think might play a role in this weekend's game?
Yeah, well, that 2018 game was really a phenomenal game. It was back and forth. It just became an offensive game, and the Packers could absolutely not deal with the way Sean McVay was using Todd Gurley, both as a receiver and a runner. And they just kept exploiting matchups there. Jair Alexander played the best game of his life. He had 5 pass breakups. He was just dominating against their receivers. The Packers' run game was outstanding. Even they really handled Aaron Donald. It was Lane Taylor and Lindsley, and then spazzing on who the left guard was, but they just did a really, really solid job in just containing him. I mean, he still was causing pressure, but they were able to run the ball on him. Now the changes, the interesting part is, you know, Brandon Staley is sort of a disciple of Vic Fangio. He worked with him in Chicago. He worked with him in Denver. And that Fangio defense really gave Rodgers some issues at times. And so it's not completely foreign to Rodgers, but it can be tricky. It can be unpredictable, and they're on a roll. So I do think that part, you know, I don't know if it'll turn into a shootout, but it sure wouldn't seem like it the way the Rams defense is playing.
Lane Taylor started that 2018 against the Rams at left guard, and Byron Bell was at right guard.
Wow. I forgot about Byron Bell, but I would have never guessed that. Never in a million years. They did a pretty decent job that day.
Well, okay. So looking forward to this weekend's game, the Packers, you know, interior offensive line versus Aaron Donald, how does that match up?
Well, you know, it matched up a lot better when David Bakhtiari was in there, because if you put Billy Turner, Lindsley, and Elgton Jenkins across the middle, I don't feel bad. I wouldn't feel that threatened. I mean, it's still Aaron Donald, and he's still going to create problems. And they still have some other guys on that line. You know, Brockers is a really good run defender, and Morgan Fox has turned into a nice little pass rusher. And, Sebastian Joseph Day can play. I think that not having Bakhtiari, so it's shuffled and moved Billy Turner to left tackle. In their, if they had their druthers, I think they would move Billy Turner back to guard if they could. But I don't think there's any scenario where they have a left tackle that's capable of holding up in a playoff game. They could try Wagner over there, but I don't think that's a good idea. And if you do put someone who's kind of weak at left tackle, then the Rams are just going to put Aaron Donald over there and exploit him. So they're going to have to go the way they go, and Lucas Patrick's going to have to play the game of his life.
I'm curious, Tom, I know this time last year, I suppose a few weeks earlier, the Packers had signed Jared Veldier out of retirement at tackle as a replacement for Brian Bulaga. And now, so Jared Veldier was recently signed once again out of retirement by the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts lost this weekend. They are out of the playoffs. A, how interested would the Packers be in Jared Veldier? And B, how possible would it be to sign him away from the Colts, even though that the team just lost this weekend?
Yeah, they can't sign him. He's still property of the Colts until March. So he doesn't become a free agent until the new year starts. So they can't sign him unless the Colts were to release him. And there's really no reason for them to do that at this point. Before that, you know, they could have given it some thought, but I think they felt pretty good about how they were lining up. I think they still feel pretty good about how they're lining up. It's just that you gotta, you know, as LaFleur said last week, he's not locked into having Billy Turner at left tackle. He would consider other things, but the other thing is moving Elgton Jenkins to left guard. And so what does that do? You know, all you'd be doing is switching Lucas Patrick to the left side. So I don't think that really is an option. I think Billy Turner will be the left tackle and Wagner will be the right tackle, assuming Wagner's okay with that knee.
Both of his knees. We'll keep an eye on that throughout practice this week. Let's discuss one of the matchups that's going to be discussed all week. Perhaps LaFleur versus Staley is the more relevant discussion to be had. However, it's going to be Matt LaFleur versus Sean McVay all over your news feeds this week, as LaFleur worked under McVay as his offensive coordinator for the 2017 season. LaFleur did not call plays and eventually made his way over to the Tennessee Titans and was offensive coordinator there, where he did have the opportunity to call plays. But at the time, Matt LaFleur was, you know, pretty familiar with their offense and familiar with some of the personnel that is currently on the team in quarterback Jared Goff, Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, although obviously not coaching Aaron Donald on the offensive side. But this season, LaFleur has had some more success against his predecessors and former bosses, against Atlanta and against Tennessee. This time last year at the playoffs, Matt LaFleur was handed a loss against his former mentor and Sean McVay against the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. How does this game compare to, I suppose, last season, and where is LaFleur now compared to where he was last season against some of the people that he learned from?
Yeah. Well, in the case of that NFC Championship game against Kyle Shanahan, that was a matter of the 49ers were just a better team, better all-around team. And I thought he got out coached in the first meeting. And then the second meeting, I think it was all about the defense being god awful. So his knowledge of that offense did not help Mike Pettine in any way. I think he at least has some knowledge of personnel. I think that's where the advantage comes, when you know strengths and weaknesses of players. You know, this has happened. I recall, I'm always going way back to the Holmgren era, but, you know, Mike Holmgren had coached in San Francisco. And when they played the 49ers in 95, that was their breakthrough playoff game. He knew what weaknesses, there were very few, of Jerry Rice, what he didn't like. And he didn't like press coverage. He didn't like to be banged around at the line of scrimmage. And he knew what to do with Brent Jones, the tight end. And, you know, he just had understanding of what was each guy's Achilles heel. And so that's kind of what LaFleur brings. Now, there's not a ton of guys. I haven't counted how many guys are left, but Jared Goff is one of them. And, you know, Robert Woods, the wide receiver, is there. Kupp is there. A lot of the offensive linemen are there. So I think that LaFleur can add a lot, give Pettine some really good insight into the players. That's where I think it helps the most. I don't think knowing scheme matters as much as knowing personnel.
Mm-hmm. Some of the players, well, one of the players that Matt LaFleur isn't going to have as much familiarity with is Akers, the running back. So he's new to this offense, drafted this season. But and he has come on pretty late, and he had a really big game against the Seahawks. He rushed for 131 yards and a touchdown on 28 carries. And he also had a 44-yard catch and run before the end of the first half. Tom, I know the Packers have been trending in the right direction on run defense, having strong games against Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans and David Montgomery and the Chicago Bears. But how do those two games position them going into this game against the Rams run game?
Well, I think, you know, they have played better. I think Pettine has switched some things up. They've got stability in the middle now with Chris Barnes. And, you know, what he's found is that he can rotate Chris Barnes, Kamal Martin, Christian Kirksey, depending on matchups, how he wants to play certain packages. But, you know, Barnes is a constant now, so that's helped them a lot. I think having Adrian Amos near the line of scrimmage has made a big deal for their run game. And I think he should be committing more to that. And then finally, they're going to have Snacks Harrison for this game, which should help. I don't think it can hurt to have another run-stopping guy in the lineup. So, I think they could play decent run defense against these guys. But, they have to do it. They have to not be susceptible to play action. It's going to be important that they're really stuff the Rams early on and try to get ahead. I think that's where they'll have a big advantage, is if they can get ahead.
And as we've already hit on a little bit, but one of the most exciting matchups of this game, cornerback Jalen Ramsey versus wide receiver Davante Adams. Looking at Ramsey's game against the Seahawks, he was matched up mostly with DK Metcalf, and Metcalf had 5 catches for 96 yards and 2 touchdowns. However, there were times where the camera cut to Metcalf on the sideline and you could see how frustrated he was going up against Ramsey.
Totally. Yeah.
Davante Adams has said, you know, we've talked about it recently on the podcast, and he said this recently, that Davante apparently likes going up against really good defenses because defensive coordinators generally have a little bit more confidence in their personnel to say, hey, go match up one-on-one on Davante Adams. We're not going to give you as much help, perhaps. How do you anticipate Adams being played against the Rams secondary?
Well, I think they will leave him one-on-one at times. I don't know how much zone coverage they've been playing against Brandon Staley's been playing. I'm interested to go and watch some more games there. But, you know, they have that opportunity to do that. And I'm sure they'll double cover him as much as they can. They have the luxury of being able to double because they don't have to have a guy in the box very often because their defensive line is so good. So I think they're going to try. If I would, a betting man, I would say they're going to try to do what teams have been doing of late, and that is take Davante Adams out of the game and then, you know, make the Packers rely on Aaron Jones winning or some of those other receivers.
And if there is a weaker aspect of this defense, which, you know, there really isn't, but against the run, the Rams defense is fourth in attempts, third in yards, and fourth in touchdowns. So it's a little bit of an advantage perhaps in the run game. And maybe Matt LaFleur can find a way to get Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, and AJ Dillon involved on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be big. It always is. The better that Aaron Jones does, the better Aaron Rodgers plays. So I think that's going to be a key, but it's going to be difficult. They had success running against them in that last meeting, and I'm not sure exactly what the reason was, but it seems like the Rams are playing great run defense right now. So we'll see.
We shall see. Tom, is there anything else you wanted to hit on before we wrap things up here?
Well, I guess we mentioned, you know, that Cooper Kupp injured his knee, and he's a key member of that receiving core. He's the guy that Goff can count on all the time and works in the slot, and he'd be matched up against Chandon Sullivan. So I'm interested to see, it seems like he's okay, but he had to leave the game, and that means something. So that's an intriguing matchup, him against Sullivan.
For sure. Yes. We will keep you all updated as the week continues on the Rams injuries. That'll certainly be interesting to keep an eye on. One other thing we didn't touch on, the Rams changed their uniforms this off season, Tom. Are you excited to see the new uniforms in person?
I was always a big fan of the old Rams uniforms. I thought they were really cool. They're modern, you know. I'm not sure about that logo. I think the uniforms are okay, but I don't know about the logo. I'm glad that they kept the Rams, you know, the horns on the helmet. That was important.
Very important. I was pretty vocal at the time, I think, on how I felt about the uniforms. They're not as bad as the new Falcons uniforms. I just hate this gradient situation that some of these teams are now featuring on their uniforms. The Falcons are doing it too. I think it's worse with the Falcons because it's the actual jersey. I believe the gradient for the Rams is in the numbers on select jerseys, but I'm most intrigued to see the bone uniforms in person. If that is the color option that the visiting team has, their white uniforms.
That's right. Yeah.
Their bone, which I am personally not a huge fan of, but that's just me. new uniforms, clearly the most important aspect of the matchup.
Yes. Yes. It'll be important that it matches with the slime zone, you know, and they get into the slime zone.
Did you watch the Nickelodeon broadcast of the Saints Bears game?
I did. I enjoyed the announcers there better than I did on the broadcast. I wish they would do that every week.
It was delightful. I enjoyed it 1,000%. I hope they do more simulcasts on other networks. Let's see it. Let's see it on a Food Network broadcast of an NFL game, an Animal Planet broadcast.
Yeah, I want to see a dog in the booth. That would be great.
That would be so much fun. Football is fun. Let football be fun and put it on, you know, Cartoon Network, Animal Planet, Food Network. I would watch it personally.
I would love to see it on the BBC. I think that would be cool.
that would be fantastic. You know, let's do it. The NFL, just make more money. You know, I'm sure it would draw an audience. Anyway, That's our two cents as media consultants. But anyway, everyone, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We will be back later to chat with all of you about this weekend's game. And of course, make sure you're checking out PackersNews.com for all of your Packers coverage. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next time.